views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm here again today to share with you some wonderful women who will be at the Women of Wisdom Conference. It's our 24th year, and those dates are, if you haven't heard of them before, it's February 11th through the 15th. It's at North Seattle College, and you can find out all the information on our website, www.thewowconference.org. And that's a new website. Most people are used to going to womenofwisdom.org, and you can find us there. But remember, conference is at thewowconference.org. Our theme this year is United We Change the World. We got some great, fabulous presenters. Our main keynote is Dr. Christine Page. We have Mira Kelly doing a two-day intensive pre-conference on Wednesday and Thursday. And we have Susan Chomsky doing a couple of wonderful day-long workshops on Awaken Your Third Eye and about your chakras and auras and learning about those. And so it's going to be a wonderful weekend. And also note, it's not a conference you have to go and commit a whole weekend and you're going to be gone all weekend. You can just come in for one event, for an evening, Saturday night's a dance, dream dance, or you can come in for one workshop, come to one of these that we're talking today. And today I'm going to begin interviewing. We're going to have Susan Franklin, and Phoebe Patton is on the show today. Phoebe Patton is an energy intuitive, Reiki master, and intuitive card reader, and the owner of Plant Speak. She created her nature-based Plant Speak divination cards to connect you to the wisdom and grounding of nature. She shares her gifts of clairvoyance and energy work to help you shift and heal in body, mind, and spirit. And then Susan Franklin, who she's giving the workshop with on her topic. Actually, they're going to give a workshop Sunday, February 14th on Free Your Intuition for Joyful Core Healing. Susan Franklin is also part of that workshop. She's an intuitive Reiki master, and as an energy psychologist, she's not your typical psychologist. Her practice is grounded in a holistic approach to mind, body, spirit healing and well-being. And Dr. Franklin has a private practice in Port Orchard, Washington. So welcome to the show, Susan and Phoebe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about intuition and core healing and all that. So first, maybe each of you could share how it was that you discovered that you were an intuitive or you were an empath, a highly sensitive person. Phoebe, let's start with you.
Okay, thank you, Chris. I was born an intuitive. I could sense what people were feeling and thinking without really knowing that I wasn't really cognizant of that. I was also an empath, and it took me a long time to really realize what an empath is. It wasn't until I was walking down the street and someone passed me and my mood went from very elated to very depressed, and the difference was so remarkable that I had to start observing whether that was really my thought. So that is how we have come to this class, by working with observance of our thought, our own thought, others' thought, and how intuition is what really allows us to realize the difference between being in control of our life instead of being influenced by others' thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Well, Susan, how about some, tell us about your background in this field and how you discovered your intuitiveness and healing ability.
Well, I knew that I was always a very sensitive being, and I was very in tune to other people's emotions, what was going on around me, and I knew I had a sense of what people were experiencing, even if they didn't know or they denied what was going on. But I don't think it was until I became a psychologist that I started to understand the connection with intuition, with the knowing part. I thought everybody got information with images in their mind or hearing words or getting signals through songs, music, lyrics, etc. And so I would say it's really only been in the last 10 years that I started to understand that that was my intuition and how I connected to it. And it became clear during my experience as a psychologist because I kept tuning into my clients and what was going on with them. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. So let's... And just for our audience, how you define, you know, what is intuition and why it's important that we learn about our, you know, learn about intuition.
I think intuition is, the short answer is it's our, that deep knowingness, that gut knowing. When we have gut reactions, we're tapping into the part of us that is often not verbal, it's not always rational, but it's kind of that core part of us that knows. You want to add anything to that, Phoebe?
Sure. They are also reflecting upon the chakras and the clairs. Like many very successful business people are highly intuitive. They may be intuitive in the second chakra, which is where we get that gut feeling. Or they might just have a knowing, and that's coming through the seventh chakra. Clairaudience is another one where we hear. Clairvoyant is when we maybe get images. The clairs and intuition are all interrelated. And it's when we become aware of how we're perceiving the world and ourselves and each other, that's when we start understanding what intuition is.
Mm-hmm. And I think, do you think it's something people are born with, or can they learn it if somebody, it doesn't come natural to them?
That's a good question. My perspective on it is that we all have ultimately have the capacity for it, but not that many people actually tap into it in some kind of conscious way. But I think it's part of being a human.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think we can learn how to increase our intuition through a variety of techniques and becoming more aware. The more conscious we become, the more we are going to be able to access our intuition. Intuition is very quiet, and there's no fear associated with intuition.
And many of us have been taught to sort of shut that down. Like if we, you know, when as a kid, like you said, yeah, you were aware of people's feelings. And if your parents tell you like, no, don't, you can't talk about that. We learn at a young age to shut it down. And so we have to relearn it. So it's, yeah, like what you're saying,
yeah,
is in us, but we have to relearn it.
Right.
Yes, totally.
I think we forget. And if you've been really lucky to grow up in an environment that nurtured it, that's fantastic. But I think you're right. Most of us have to remember and come back,
mm-hmm,
to that part of ourselves.
Well, let's talk about being an empath, because that's one of the things in your workshop, empath or highly sensitive person, and the difference between, if there is, between those two.
I'll talk about an empath, and Sue, would you like to talk about an HSP? An empath is someone who is sensitive to the outside world, so to speak. Let's say they have a harder time going through Costco. The volume of music might bother them more. They're more sensitive. They can go into a room and they'll pick up the ambiance of the room very quickly. I really think that an empath is more connected to the right brain, in which they see nonverbal communication, body language, tone of voice more. They see the big picture rather than the left brain, which is much more mind chatter.
And so research shows us that approximately 15 to 20% of individuals of pretty much every species, so not just humans, but animals too, 15 to 20% of individuals can be called highly sensitive beings, which is not just emotional sensitivity, but it's nervous system sensitivity. So all those, all that radar that Phoebe was talking about, is a highly sensitive person. And the empathic part, this is how I see it. The empath, it has tapped into the intuitive part, has greater access to their intuition and actually gathering more information about other people, other beings, their environment, rather than, it's almost, I kind of see it like another developmental state where the highly sensitive person, just everything gets on their radar. They're so sensitive.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, we're going to have to take a break right now. This is Christina's, and we'll come back in a minute and talk more with Susan Franklin and Phoebe Patton.
The 24th annual WOW Conference, United We Change the World, is February 11th through the 15th. Featured guests are Dr. Christine Page on Creative Dragon Energy. Dr. Susan Shumsky will show you how to awaken your third eye. And Mira Kelly will present a two-day intensive workshop on Beyond Past Lives. Join WOW for intimate, experiential, life-changing workshops and evening presentations that will inspire you. You can choose two half-day workshops and receive one half-day workshop for free through December 31st. Join a supportive community of women on their journey to discover and develop their passions and purpose in life. Women of Wisdom is the place to be. This February 11th through the 15th, go to thewowconference.org. That's the WOW conference.org to discover all the diverse offerings WOW has to offer you.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
We're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Susan Franklin and Phoebe Patton. They are presenters at the 24th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference. So I'd love for you, the two of you, to give your website information, and people can find out more about you. I know you both do work here locally in the Pacific Northwest and working with people.
Right. My practice is in Port Orchard, Washington, and my website is groundwaterwellness.com.
And my website is plantspeak.com, PlantSpeak, exactly how it sounds, .com. That's also my business Facebook page, and I am also on Instagram under plantspeak.
Okay. So, Ev, since you brought that up, let's talk a little bit about plant speak, because you have created a set of cards that are based off of plants for kind of their intuitive reading type cards, right?
Yes. Yes, they are. Well, it's interesting because I was a landscape designer, and that is very left brain oriented. I had to learn all the names and species and all the math involved with landscape design. But nature itself is very right brained. When we're in nature, the left brain wants to label everything. Oh, that's a tree. Well, it wants to describe it. Then it wants to label it. Then it wants to judge it. The cards, however, allow you to go into your right brain, into your intuition. I was in the woods, and the nature spirits talked to me and asked me to create a deck of photographs of tree faces, plants, roots, everything, and then intuitively I matched words to the pictures, to the photos that I took. And this allows you to access your own right brain, your own intuition, and the universal love that that nature presents to us, that nature is.
Yeah, it's such a wonderful tool for learning about ourselves through nature. And I don't know, I've seen your cars, they're beautiful. And you know, looking at different, you know, trees or the knots in trees or the roots, like you say,
it's
amazing. You kind of go in, you know, you can go into that and see what's here for me to learn. So, you mentioned about right brain and left brain, and even with your cards, and that, you know, and we're so much in a left brain society of everything being linear. And you even talked before about mind chatter and how that, it's that monkey mind that just, yak, 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 talk about how that inhibits our intuition and our healing, and what you can do, how you, both of you work to help people with that.
It's creating awareness of your mind. And the brain chatter, it's all about our likes and dislikes. And so it creates identification as to who we are. For example, people may think that they're a mother, or they have a different facade when they work, but that is still all mind chatter.
And that mind chatter is really, it's a very natural thing that the human brain does. Our brain evolved, and part of the way that we survived was we evaluate everything. And so everything gets judged. The thing that we forgot or we got confused about was that we are not our mind and we're not our thoughts, right? So as we develop our awareness, we get a little space there to see that our thoughts are the chatter, they're really left brain material. And we are the awareness, or we are the one who's experiencing awareness. We're separate from that. And that's really a path to healing right there.
Right. When we get a glimpse of our inner self, the silent state of awareness, you could say it's the higher self.
Yeah.
It's constant. It doesn't change. It's the same.
Well, I want to dive into this a little bit more, because awareness, it seems like you have, you know, that part of me is going, but I have to put words to the awareness, you know, like you get an aha, you get a glimmer of something, you have this awareness, and we immediately put words to it to describe it, which often doesn't even fully describe it.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
As soon as the mind starts commenting on our experience, we've removed ourselves from the experience. We're no longer actually present as soon as the mind starts commenting.
Because you're only aware of the reality you choose to observe, and then that takes it into quantum physics. You're your observation, our observation makes things appear real, and then we attract a vibrational match, and that creates a concrete world. Our thoughts are really, they're concrete. They're actual things. They're energy.
Right. And the I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there. The awareness is our pure experience. We don't need language. Ultimately, mm-hmm. We really don't need language. That takes us a step away.
And we're so entrained to do that, you know, yep. that we have to put words to everything and we have to explain things to people and we have to understand
right.
them.
Right. And actually, you know, if you think about Don Miguel Ruiz and the fifth agreement, that's his whole premise is we forget who we are partly because of language, like we need language to function as a human in this material world. But it also contributes to forgetting who we are and getting away from our pure energy, our pure self, our pure experience. That's the dance, right, of being human. That's the dance.
And that the inner turmoil and struggle that comes when we start seeing cracks in our facades because we can't tolerate that negativity anymore. That's when we start to seek to observe who is observing the mind. And so we that's when we can change, when we can accept. It's all about acceptance, because stress only happens when you resist life's events, and that creates blockages. But when we accept, that's when we reduce stress. And so when we observe something, we can just observe it and let it go. We don't have to do a mind chatter by taking up that thing and creating another negative thought about it.
Mm-hmm. And so this is, I want to take that to, because something that you talked about in your empath of picking up other people's energy, you have some tools to share about how to interact positively to, and I think mostly to impact yourself so that you don't get affected by other people's energy. You know, you walk into a party, you're feeling great, you walk in, and then all of a sudden you're feeling down, like you said, pass somebody in the street, feeling great, and then all of a sudden you feel negative and you don't know why, you can't explain it. So
right.
What are some of the tools that you can suggest to people to deal with that?
Well, I think the place to start for highly sensitive people is self-care. I think highly sensitive people need to be Olympic athletes in terms of self-care, and that helps manage. We don't want to get rid of the sensitivity because it's an amazing gift. Empaths, highly sensitive people are more affected by both the positive and the negative. So it often feels like a messy double-edged sword and requires a lot of self-care to manage that. What we're really focusing on our workshop is going to the deeper level, because we're more affected, especially by negative energy or negative events in our lives. We tend to carry around a bag of wounds, and going deeper to work with those, to tap your intuition, that deeper, higher self, then applying the self-care, the awareness in itself can be powerfully healing, because you start to realize that you aren't the event, you aren't the emotions, you're not the other person's events. You start getting really clear on what's you and what's not you, and then you can release it. And
yeah,
go ahead, Phoebe.
I was going to say that's really important, what Sue's saying, because as an empath, it's really important to be watching yourself, so that when you have a matching picture with someone, or you have a core picture that relates to someone, you are cognizant of it happening, and you can let go, and you don't fall back into the old stories of those wounds.
And so triggering those wounds.
Some of the tools are developing awareness, the ability to observe without reaction, developing our intuitive skills, so tuning into our own emotional experience, our own energetic experience, what's happening in our bodies, and then using that information and that connection to directly work with perhaps an old wound. Often it's just about letting go. It's about releasing it. And sometimes some things need a little processing.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you, both of you, for being on the show today.
Thank you, Chris.
And thank you. And everybody, to check out their workshop, Free Your Intuition for Joyful Core Healing. So they'll be working on creating a core healing for people in the workshop. And that'll be Sunday, February
14th. And having a lot of fun.
And having fun. Sunday, February 14th in the afternoon, I believe. So thanks for being on the show and being at WOW. And we're going to take another break. When we come back, I'm going to introduce you to Summer Albertson.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat, and we are partnering with the Maca team, who is dedicated to bringing you the highest quality, traditionally grown, organic, GMO-free maca supplements and products. The health benefits are so powerful and extensive, I can't even list them in this announcement. Together, we have created several exclusive offers for you, our listeners. Find out more about maca and get this exclusive offer at drpatspicks.com. That's drpatspicks.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm going to be speaking now with Summer Albertson. She is an energy brilliance healer, a NEA brown belt teacher, and Compassion Games international leader. She's passionate about equitable social justice for all. And as an activist, Summer wants to make a positive difference with diverse communities, including women's and girls' leadership, environmentalists, people with disabilities, elders, and indigenous peoples. She's doing a workshop on Monday, February 15th, and Monday is a holiday, so, you know, we expect to see a lot of people on Monday, and her workshop is called Energize and Empower Compassionate Brilliance. So welcome, Summer.
Hi, so good to be here.
Yeah, so let's share a little bit about you. How do you embody your inner brilliance and caring, kindness, and compassion for others?
Well, I feel like it's, you know, I'm 35, but a lot of my life I came into this world dancing. Dancing was something that I found as a very young girl and has been a part of my life through everything I've done. And I think that finding things that we really enjoy, that really illuminate joy, whatever like naturally makes us really feel happy and ourselves is really an important pulse in my life. And now that I'm mostly full-time and working with Compassion Youth International around compassion and helping others be more compassionate and kind, is I feel like it almost is the most important thing in life to actually really feel healthy and good is how we serve and how we contribute to the world is really kind of one of my main focuses of my life right now. So yeah, that's definitely a pretty big thing. And dancing and, you know, spending time with people that inspire me, and I think, you know, everything is energy. And I just constantly ask myself, the inner light in me, like, you know, am I really feeling lifted and energized by this experience and wherever I'm at in relationship with all things is my guiding principle.
So. Mm-hmm. So you talked about, you know, caring and kindness, compassion. Why is that vital for us and for our planet Earth?
Well, I think it's just really important. There is so much suffering, and I think it's really, really easy to think about all the things that are wrong, and maybe even the things that are wrong with just inside ourselves. But even in those darker times, I think those are the most vital times that we reach outside of ourselves and outside of our suffering and difficulty to lend a helping hand and realize that there is so much more to life than the things that are just the limits inside our own minds, the limits inside our thoughts, and even the limits that are happening all over the world. That once we, you know, the Gandhi quote, be the change you want to be in the world, is, I think, is really important, is how we decide, like how self decides to arrive and support that world that we wish to see around us, is how we are in relationship. And I think that caring and kindness towards others really helps energize and helps the collective. And after we come from that space of supporting another person, it's just, you just feel better, you know? So mm-hmm. I think it's really important. Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned that, you know, Gandhi, be the change. And so often you just see everybody pointing at everybody else, that we're expecting others to change. We need, you know, we want mm-hmm. the government to make the changes. We want the politicians
sure.
to make the changes. We want
yeah.
everybody else to make the changes. And it mm-hmm. all, it starts with us.
It really does, Chris. I really do believe it starts within. And it's easy to take that victim role of like, why isn't this change? Or why is this person not doing well? Or why am I not making enough money? Or why this, why that? But there's another flip side of that, is, you know, we can empower and be power with versus something being powered over us, mm-hmm. I think is really important. Yeah.
Well, I want to bring in another element, because because you said a big part of your life is dance. And so how, I know it for you, and you said, you explained it for you, but how can dance work at repairing and healing community?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's really vital that where there are different perspectives and different ways of living life, or where there might even be conflict. I mean, we can just start with the example of our own homes, right? And our family systems, or maybe we live in a space and community with different political perspectives, or, you know, coming from the holidays. I don't know about you, but in my family, we don't all think politically the same. And that can cause some frictions and challenges. But I think it's really important to find common ground. And I think that the arts is a vital piece of the puzzle of, you know, finding a way to align. And as a dancer myself, and I really find that finding a way to bring people in a unified experience that unifies not through fear, but unifies through love, that everyone has the capacity of the joy of moving together and in a guided, sacred space where people can really feel comfortable to really like let loose and feel freedom and make funny sounds and, you know, just to kind of, it takes those boundaries down of the differences. Like suddenly that's not what's in the space anymore. Suddenly there's this unified experience of just a revealing of compassion in action, or there's a revealing of, you know, looking eye to eye into someone that maybe does have a different political perspective. Like, and I will say in my being with my family with the holidays that suddenly like music will come on and there's just something that happens, everyone getting up and dancing and laughter, that those frictions that or differences, they don't matter as much. And so I really find that that is a powerful way to unify and connect, because there's always going to be different perspectives. And sometimes that's just the reality, you know, but how we come together and experience love and get through that is, I think, really important. So,
yeah, that's a great thing. Maybe for people who you know, it's like mm-hmm. get into the argument and go, okay, let's just put on some music and dance.
Yeah.
Well, you work with Compassion Games International, and so let's talk a little bit about that and what you're preparing for, and I know you're kind of bringing that sense of Compassion Games to Women of Wisdom. So
yeah, I'm just so excited. Well, for one, it was really amazing last year. One of the first co-opetitions we had going on actually during the Women of Wisdom conference last year was I was able to engage an experience through, we have different leagues, women, men, children's leagues, and Indigenous People's League, and I actually brought a group of women to the Women of Wisdom conference and led the 1 Billion Rising movement last year. Is kind of how I discovered Women of Wisdom Conference. So it's really exciting to come back this year. And also I've developed a great friendship with Chris, and just, I think that Women of Wisdom is such a powerful place to be. And so, yeah, it's been a really big year of stepping into Compassion Games International as a leader and we are really designing co-opetitions of compassion in action in a global way. So we have these specific co-opetitions, and the next one we're just finishing up, one that happened December 1st through the 11th called the Giving Games, and it was for youth in schools playing it forward. We had over 100 teams in 13 different countries all over the world battling, you know, we call it co-opetition, so it's challenging with versus against in that space of challenging other teams and organizers and individuals, bringing forth and reporting their actions on this beautiful report map. So we just had a wonderful kind of closure of that and then lasting into the holidays. And now we are in 2016 and we have 6 co-opetitions planned already for this year. The next one is actually in just a couple weeks. It's a brand new one with Martin Luther King. It's going to be during the weekend of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. So all around like social justice. And so we're in process right now here at the Heart Quarters, which is here in Seattle, Washington, and in the process of getting in alignment with some partners that are doing really great work around Martin Luther King. And so all the different co-opetitions have a different focus, but anyone's welcome to play along and report. And, you know, it's just all about helping ways of actually measuring compassion. So we have a scoreboard that's alive through all the different co-opetitions. And so right now we're just kind of in the midst of really preparing and launching that to the world. Just getting back into that, kind of in the middle of preparing for that. It's very exciting. Martin Luther King Jr. is an amazing activist, that his presence is very alive through the work that we do. So we're going to be designing around some of his speeches and visions that he has through different daily missions ways of bringing social justice alive from the 15th, January 15th through the 18th.
Okay, that's great. Well, we're going to have to take an we're going to have to take a break. So this is Chris Stainis, and we'll come back shortly and talk more with Summer Albertson. Welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Summer Albertson, who's going to be doing a workshop at the conference on Monday, February 15th. It's Energize and Empower Compassionate Brilliance. Summer, let's have you give people your website address and, you know, how they can find you.
Yeah. So I'm kind of in the process right now where I'm existing in a couple different websites right now, but my main work and place that I exist is Compassion Games, so www.compassiongames.org. And I am the Compassion Games International Unicorn, so you can find me there. And then also I have my business that's mostly focused around my NIA practice and my Energy Brilliance Healing offerings, and that's at islandjoywellness.com. So you can find me at either of those places.
Okay, that was islandjoywellness.com.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, great. And I know they can find you on Facebook too. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Everywhere. Yes.
So you were talking about Martin Luther King and that work you were doing there, which is mm-hmm. great. Makes me mm-hmm. think, like, hey, you know, in February some year we should be doing a women's thing around, you know, connecting women around the world to connect to women mm-hmm. wisdom. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. The International Women's Day, I believe.
March
8th. Yeah.
But I think February mm-hmm. also is a Women's Month, or I don't know, February, March, somewhere in there. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, so also some focus in February, on women. We have the Interfaith Harmony Week. That's February 1st through the 7th, that we're focusing on interfaith, unified, like sort of the spiritual space of at being an activist as well. And so we have the Super Bowl is one of the things. So we're inviting faith practices, faith communities to be in co-optation amongst each other around soup drives in light of the actual, football Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And all of that. So it's kind of a twist reframe there to focus on service. And
yeah.
aligning with that, and yeah, and also sunning up our sanctuaries, so bringing solar energy and renewable energy into the conversation of how to be compassionate to the planet as well. So that is happening at that around that time.
Mm-hmm. that There's we're so much going on. So I want to focus on the workshop, and perhaps there's a guided experience that you could share with us now for our audience to ignite vitality and brilliance. What would you say to that?
Yeah, well, I think it's like a lot of our practices in the work that we do with Compassion Games is we always focus on starting from within. So I would start with, you know, awakening that embodiment energy, compassion in the body. And so, like, one way that I would invite us right now in this moment is to, you know, allow ourselves to stand up and just shake ourselves up a little bit. Sometimes it can kind of feel a little contraction and stiff. And so I would actually invite, which I've done with Chris at another workshop through Women of Wisdom, is actually awakening the 13 main joints of the body. So starting with the left ankle and just moving that left ankle and all the way up to the left knee and just actually like really shaking it and having a little like dance of awakening the body here with compassion for our left hip and all the way to our left wrist. So it's like allowing that, just kind of actually bringing the present moment into our wrists and into the elbow. So you can like imagine yourself tracing a heart with your left elbow and seeing how that sensation and presence is shifting there. And then we move up to our left shoulder and just allowing that movement, the compassion to come into that space. Our seventh main joint is the spine. So connecting our tail and our head, breathing into our spine. And we come over to the right side of the body, can visualize what is the color of compassion in your right shoulder. So I'm standing and moving here, imagining heat, warmth in your right shoulder, and coming to the right elbow, and you can shake that elbow, whatever feels really good, a nice, loving invitation to that right elbow, down to the right wrist. Just imagine like an inhale and exhale through the wrist. You can move your hand around different palm directions, and then move that awareness down to the right hip. So moving, you can trace with your hips, infinity symbol or circle, shaking, and all the way down to your right knee. Big exhale, and down to the right ankle. So those are all 13 main joints are now awakened with compassion, all unified together. We can now move all of those 13 main joints of our body or spine. And that would be a practice, that example of something that we can, that we'll be doing together in a guided experience as we move into a compassionate community experience. But it all, in my experience, it really starts within, like how compassionate we are to ourselves, and then we can move into an experience together. So that's an example, Chris, that I don't know about you, but I feel better. I feel more here going through that.
Yeah, we can sense that. For sure, I'm tied to a computer and earphones, and but
hopefully you can wiggle a little bit.
So this sounds like one of your healing rituals that you do in your daily life, and you recommend for others to do. So it's really, you know, getting in touch with your body and being aware, waking your body up, and
And that's part of the embodiment too. It's like going back to the Gandhi quote of being the change you want to see in the world. Like it isn't just thinking, it's not just action, it's how we are present in our bodies and how we come walk through life, and how we're an activist, or how we show up for others is how present are we in our bodies. So that's something that is going to be really an intention through the workshop.
So one last sentence of words of wisdom for our audience. What would you like to call in for 2006? And I'm serious, one sentence.
I just wish for this year to really embody that epic, marvelous savoring of life. My wish for all people listening to this call is to really feel into the preciousness of this next year, and may we all just really enjoy the journey of life. And thank you for this precious opportunity to be here with you, Chris, and the workshop that we'll be up to in February. I'm really looking forward to it. I guess that was an extended long sentence, but that was the best way.
I knew. That's why I said one sentence, because I know you too well. Well, thank you, Summer, for being on the show. And be sure to check out our website, compassiongames.org, and sign up for the workshops Monday, February 15th, and Energize and Empower Compassionate Brilliance. So check out all the events we have at the conference. Just go to www.thewowconference.org. And sometimes in the middle of January or towards the end of January, there's some specials going on. So you just have to go to the website and see what's happening in that regard. But all events are individually priced. You can buy a weekend pass. A lot of people just buy individual ones, and they come to two or three, four or five things, whatever they want to come to. So you can drop in. And we've got a great dance, the Dream Dance, on Saturday night. That's a fabulous event to participate in.
Excited about that.
all at the North Seattle College. So again, just go to thewowconference.org. Okay, well, we're at the end of our show. I'm so glad to have shared this time with you and sharing the WOW presenters from Woman of Wisdom. So everybody have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.